The question today is, what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? This is part two of this. We said that the husband and wife has a mutual obligation to love one another, because love hides a multitude of sin. And so we dealt with that in yesterday's broadcast. But we also, the husband needs to come to the place to where he's got a love, that mutual obligation. And this works for the wife as well. But you see, Christ's relationship to the church suggests three things a wife needs that her husband should provide. For instance, Jesus did this for the church, as he said this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Now, the word Savior there is something that we know that Christ did for us and saved us from our sins, and man can't do that. But the word Savior means preserver or sustainer. You see, the church could depend upon Jesus wholly and completely. They never needed for anything. Food and clothing, for instance. They had that through the children of Israel. They had that all the way through the wilderness journey. Elijah was by the brook. He was fed by a raven. He was fed in the widow's house. God took care of him. Even in the New Testament time, when the disciples needed coin to pay their taxes, he said, go catch a fish. And he provided for them. You see, while he walked with them, he took care of them. And so the same's today. All we need to do is walk by faith. We ought to be the same for our wives. We ought to supply her needs, not provide as a provide as a preserver and meet our responsibility. But now there's another word Jesus has used of Jesus. In fact, there's two words in verse 24 of chapter number 5, or verse number, excuse me, that's verse number 29, where he said, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Those two words, nourisheth and cherisheth, are words that applied to our Lord of what he did for the church. The word nourisheth means to bring up, to rear up to maturity. You see, Jesus took care of the church as his own body, and it is his own body. Therefore, we need to love our wives as our own flesh. We're one. Bone of my bone, Adam said. Flesh of my flesh. In other words, your own flesh, what do? You rest it when it gets tired. You wash it. At least I hope you do when it gets dirty. You feed the body. And if you get the pain, you go to the doctor and you take care of your own body. That's what he said we do. You see, we should take care of our wives as our own body. But he said Jesus also cherisheth the church in verse 29 of Ephesians 5. The word cherisheth means to brood over. It means to warm. And all three of these words, Savior, Nourisher, and Cherisher, means to take care of her. And all three of them are involved. See, but cherisheth means to provide warmth and heat. To be specific, the word describes what a mother bird does on a cold night, or a mother hen does on a cold night for a chicken. She warms with her own body heat. In other words, they'll come underneath her wings, she'll warm them, she'll meet her responsibility. And that's your responsibility as far as the husband is concerned. Now, a mother hen, she'll expose her body to the cold, to the elements, to protect the young. And Jesus did that for the church. He said in Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." In other words, these three things, Savior, nourisheth, and cherisheth. That's what he did for us, and he's still doing, and that's what we need to do for our wives. Now, that may mean she can put her cold feet on you at night and warm them up. You see, that's what it does for a little chicken. So you get so close that they warm and cozy and the needs are met. And that equals security. And the wife needs that. She needs perfect and complete security. Jesus did it for the church. And wives in our society, though, in this ERA movement, have fled the nest, provided income, and they become independent and say, "What mentally, why do I need him?" Partly the blame is the husband's failure to provide the security for the wives in basically two areas. That's physical security. You see, if your wife thinks there's a burglar in the house, don't laugh at her. Get up and check it out. Put her at ease. Peter said she's the weaker vessel. Fear is real to her. And sometimes it is to you. You need to let her know you'll care. You care and you'll look and she'll be secure. But there's also emotional security. And she needs to know everything's going to be okay. And Jesus said this about the church, about to leave the apostles. He said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." John 14:18, he said, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you." He sent the Comforter, and he says, and he gives us comfort. Now, the wives need to know that everything's going to be okay. And if we'll provide, And we can if we love her like Christ did the church. Our wife also needs the assurance of our uninterrupted attention and concern and love. In other words, in Mark chapter 6, verse 46 through 50, Jesus was careful to assure the disciples of his attention and concern, even when engaged in other matters. He was up in the mountain praying, and yet he saw them rowing in the boat on the Sea of Galilee as a storm had come up, and he walked to them on the water, and he comforted them in that sense. And they were assured that he was mindful of them. In other words, they had his uninterrupted attention and concern. And to do that, of course, our vocations must not threaten the wife's wife. She needs to come to the place to believe that her husband's attention is on her. Whether your vocation is so-called secular or sacred, intimate communication and fellowship is something else that needs that. She needs that. You come home sometimes, the TV takes away the communication, and she says, "Let me tell you so-and-so," and begins to tell you, but you think, you look at your nose in the TV and the news, and you say the world situation is more important. We're all guilty of this. The world's in a mess, and the reason is right here in the home. You pick up the paper, supper's ready, back to the TV, take a nap, back to the TV, bed to sleep, wake up, breakfast is ready, and you haven't spent 5 minutes with your wife, and you wonder what's wrong with her. I give her everything she needs. Listen, she wants you. If you'll provide, be the savior, the nourisher, and the cherisher, she'll respond. And the home will begin to get in order, and there'll be honey in that home. And then again, we see that Christ, because of his love, he had a goal for the church. And that goal was a model for every husband. The Bible said in verse 26 and 27 of Ephesians chapter 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, meaning the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. In other words, that's the model for every husband. You see, Christ knew that it was his responsibility to meet the spiritual needs of the church. And listen, that's more important than the physical needs. Our wife's problem is our problem. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, I understand we're not Christ, and I understand we don't have the same power and resources as an omnipotent God, but men, we need to understand that this supernatural power and supernatural tools are at our disposal to do what he asks us to do for reasons why they're available. If you're saved, life of Christ is in you if you're saved. Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you're saved, you also have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 3:16 said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, everything that Jesus Christ did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 3:20 said, now unto him that is able to do abundantly, exceeding abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that now worketh in us. Talking about the indwelling Holy Spirit. So if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the life of Christ in you. Supernatural tools to carry out the work that God wants you to do in your home as the mutual obligation of loving your wife. You also have the Word of God. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he said, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means that he may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished, in other words. And he's profitable for instruction, is what he said. And therefore, we can tap these resources, these supernatural tools, the Word of God, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, and he'll give us the understanding we need. And then we've got the church today. And the church has the keys. I'm talking about the New Testament church. Matthew 16:18, he said, I'll build the church upon myself, is who he's talking about. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19 says, and I'll give unto thee, not Peter, but the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we've got the church. For instance, prayer in the church. The Bible says in Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, it doesn't mean just to say something, but being led of the Lord is what it's talking about. It doesn't mean just to say in Jesus' name with words, but it means being led of him. And all these supernatural tools are available to help us mold the spiritual character of our wives. And so there's a mutual obligation to love each other. Husbands, you've got the greater obligation in that area. Then there's a mutual obligation to trust each other. Love and trust go together. You see, when the old green-eyed monster of jealousy sticks up its ugly head, and it'll cause you to accuse one another when you may be, for instance, get home a little late. If you've got jealousy, you say, well, you get home a little later. He said, did you know you was 5 minutes late yesterday, 6 minutes late today? You cause problems. You see, you'd better look out, for that home is in trouble. You see, where have you been with a tone of distrust in your voice? Don't ask him that. There ought to be trust. 1 Peter 4:8 said, if we really love one another, having fervent charity among yourselves, charity will cover a multitude of sin. You see, when real love is there and flows in a home, there's trust. In other words, you make mistakes. Sure you will. But there'll be trust. Now, the mutual obligation is to trust each other and to love one another. Now, if that trust is ever broken, it's terribly hard to build it back. So you need to latch onto that trust. You need to latch onto that love and protect it. You need to guard it with your life, because the future of your home is dependent on that love and that trust. So there's a mutual obligation. When you ask the question, is what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? First of all, there is a mutual obligation to love one another, to trust one another. Then there's going to be a moral obligation. We'll deal with this at a later time in depth a little more, and that means to be honest and to be faithful, which is basically to love and trust. You see, if we love each other, we'll be honest. If we are faithful to each other, trust each other, we'll be faithful to each other. And so, therefore, that's part of it. But there's still some more moral obligations that we'll mention. And then there's a money obligation in the home that's in the home husband has to the wife. And then there's a marital obligation. So I want to deal with these in other parts of this series on the question as what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other. Now, we have a series of this, all these on the home, that's a little more in-depth and a little more exhaustive than this. We've got the series on tapes. We've got the series on CDs. We'll be glad to send them to you all free of charge. We don't charge for anything that we have, but we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear. We need to hear from our people on the radio broadcast just to find out if we're doing any good out there. And so you can contact us, of course, and you can contact us at, look up our website. That's the best way, and it's got all the information right there, www.thepersuader.org. And, of course, you can call us or you can write us if you need to do that, and we give the call letter, all those things at the beginning of each broadcast each day. So we're thankful that God give us a home. May we meet our mutual obligation. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.